So there is a mutual benefit between you and your beloved. And the example of that is that which you love starts to annoy you, starts to annoy you and give you problems. You can feel your love is reducing very quickly. Isn't that so? What? Nobody loves nobody here? Isn't that so? That our love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always is present because He is perfect at all times. And His bounty upon us at all times countless. His bounty upon us at all times countless. Then the third hadith in this chapter, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده ووالده والناس أجمعين. None of you is going to become a believer until I am more beloved to him than his father and his son and everybody else. This is related to love for the sake of Allah. For us to complete our iman, we have to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we love him for the sake of Allah. You love him because he is more beneficial to you than your own father. The Prophet is more good to you than your own father and your own mother. And none of the believers will assume the perfect or the most complete aspect of iman until they love the Prophet more than they love their father and their son and everybody else. And this negation does not negate the existence of iman. Because if it negates the existence of iman, that means this person is a disbeliever. But this hadith negates the complete level of al-Iman. Therefore, it means none will achieve a complete level of Iman until the Prophet is more beloved to him than his father and children and everybody else. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُلَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهَ وَأَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَدَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يُحْبَسَ فِي النَّارِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you will relish the sweetness of Iman until Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to him than anything else. And until to love a person only for the sake of Allah. And until you hate to go back in this belief, just as much as you hate to be thrown in the hellfire. The sweetness of Iman cannot be felt. You cannot taste the sweetness of Iman until those three are inculcated in your life. To love Allah and His Messenger more than anything else. And if you are going among the Muslims, I am going to make a question here. Do you love Allah and His Messenger more than anything else? Yes? No. Check it. Everybody will check it. I love Allah and His Messenger more than anything else. But when you take that information and try to put it in practicality, you see the practicality of this statement is not there. So if you love Allah and His Messenger more than anything else, you have to show your obedience to Allah. And He said, you love Allah and so you say, be quick to adhere and obey. There is no difficulty in understanding that, inshaAllah. But many people, the statement of their action defy the statement of their tongue. People can make any kind of claims in their tongue, but what will authenticate the claim is the action. You can tell me I saw elephants flying. You can say anything, and everybody can say anything. But what really is important is how you authenticate and demonstrate and support your statement. So none will take the secret of faith until Allah and His Messenger know beloved to you. What does that mean? When you have some kind of information, some type of desire, but that is against the teaching of Allah and His Messenger, you have to withhold yourself and put yourself on the straight line, on the straight path. By feeling that you are suppressing your desire and you are getting away with your information and disciplining yourself according to the precepts of the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to the example and the precepts of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you start feeling the sweetness of faith. And the second thing that you have to do, and we have to do to taste the sweetness of faith, is to love a person not because he is driving a Beamer, or he has $1 million in the bank, or he promised you to give you some kind of employment. You love the person for the sake of Allah. Why you love him for the sake of Allah? Because you assume that Allah loves this person, so you love this person. Why would you assume that Allah loves a person? Because you see this person is obedient, praying, fasting, trying to adhere to all the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wearing his beard, wearing his clothing according to the teaching of Al-Islam, mannering himself according to the etiquette of Al-Islam, carrying on himself according to the teaching of Al-Islam. He is the type of person, when you see him, you remember Allah. Not when he speaks, when you see him, when you see his quality, when you see his, how he goes about doing his affairs, you remember Allah. So you love him even though you have no connection between you and him. There's no personal knowledge between you and him. So none of us will feel the sweetness of faith until we love a person for the sake of Allah. Therefore, we love the scholars of Al-Islam. Even those scholars that we have never seen, and we have never sat with, we have never shared food with, but we heard their case, we heard their lecture, we read their book. Their reputation is very nice, and fabulous reputation they have. Therefore, we love them for the sake of Allah. And the first thing is to hate to go back to this belief as much as you hate to be thrown in the hellfire. Of course, everybody hates to go back to this belief. Or everybody hates to go back to the days of ignorance. But that, the implication of that is for a person to repent and to regret disobeying Allah. You find some people, they disobey Allah and they're happy about it. And they say, alhamdulillah, you know, before we were sent, we got the chance to do this and this and that. This is how they speak. Before we repent, before we came into repentance, we got the chance to do this and this and this and that, and they are happy that they had the chance to do that. This person does not face the sweetness of faith, because he does not hate. The practices of ignorance look like he hates to go back to the hellfire. He's not regretting. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لَتَوْبَةُ النَّدَمْ. Repentance is regret. And a person who regrets disobeying Allah is not going to be happy talking about the time when he disobeyed Allah. A person who does not have this inculcated in his heart and his understanding is not going to taste the sweetness of faith. The sweetness of faith. Then we have a statement from Ibn Abbas, an ashar from Ibn Abbas, that this ashar is weak, that it is very big in its meaning. We will read it inshaAllah. من أحب في الله وأبغض في الله ووالى في الله وعادى في الله فإنما تنال ولاية الله بذلك ولن يجد عبد طعم الإيمان وإن كثرت صلاته وصومه حتى يكون كذلك وقد صارت عامة مؤاخاة الناس على أمور الدنيا وذلك لا يجزي على أهله. He said, whoever loves for Allah, hates for Allah, affiliates himself for the sake of Allah, and went into hostility for the sake of Allah, you're going to achieve Allah's alliance by doing that. So Allah, the alliance of Allah to you will be achieved by you loving for the sake of Allah, praying for the sake of Allah, affiliating yourself for the sake of Allah, and hating and taking enemies for the sake of Allah. This is how you achieve the Allah's alliance, the wilaya of Allah. And a person is not going to take the sweetness of faith, even if he prays a lot and fasts a lot, until those qualities are in him. But currently, he said, most of the friendship of the people is based on materialistic benefits. Who is saying that? It was attributed to Ibn Abbas. At that time he was saying most of the people, relation and connection, and most of the friendship amongst the people is based on materialistic gain. So what would we say at this time? وَلَا حَوْلَا وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين. The closest friends on the day of judgment, they will be enemies to each other, except those who are pious. Because piety connected them, so they will remain friends. But those who depravity connected them, they will be enemies to each other on the day of judgment. Each one will say to the other, you misled me. So having said that, we go through the issues inshaAllah, and we have the brother Abu Bahir Ali for us the issues. This is the verse from the next.
Explain
the word of the Lord.
إن الله
سبحانه وتعالى يحب من يحب الله سبحانه وتعالى يحب من يحب الله سبحانه وتعالى يحب من يحب الله سبحانه وتعالى يحب من يحب الله سبحانه وتعالى يحب من يحب الله سبحانه وتعالى يحب من يحب الله سبحانه وتعالى يحب من يحب الله سبحانه وتعالى يحب من يحب الله سبحانه وتعالى يحب من يحب الله سبحانه وتعالى يحب من يحب الله سبحانه وتعالى يحب من يحب الله سبحانه وتعالى يحب من يحب الله سبحانه وتعالى يحب من يحب الله سبحانه وتعالى يحب من
يحب
So to say that negating Iman does not mean a person is outside of Islam. So when the Prophet ﷺ negated for a person who has Iman and lives, the Prophet is more beloved to him, that does not mean this person is outside the fold of Islam. Because as we have mentioned, this negation refers to the completion of Al-Iman and not to the essence of Al-Iman.
You may have been completed that it sometimes takes about 30 to 29 hours. No one can do the friendship of the law and verdict of the man and the girl, and that he possesses four actions of the heart. The one, love for the sake of the law. The two, hate for the sake of the law. The three, friendship for the sake of the law. And the four, enmity for the sake of the law. The companion's understanding of the reality that people in general feel fraternity for worthy people. Explanation of the verse and all the relations will be cut off
into. If all this relation that's based on materialistic mutual benefit will be disconnected in the day of judgment. This is based on the interpretation of this ayah where it says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. They love them as much as they love Allah. That means they love Allah and they love their statue. But they equate their statue to the love of Allah. That means they're not negating, they're not loving Allah. They love Allah, but they equate their love to Allah in quantity and in quality to loving their statue. In quantity refers to the amount, and in quality refers to be it an act, to that love being an act of worship. You understand? Go on.
The threat of punishment for the person loving more than Eve and his religion.
Yeah, the age that was mentioned in the ayah. Your father, your friends, your shaykh.
The age being an ancestor, descendants, brothers, relatives, kind of wealth, trade, and habitat. Whether it is your partner for Allah, or anyone who has as much love as he has for Allah, has committed major shirk.
And here it's important. It does not mean a person goes and takes a statue and say, I'm going to love him as much as loving Allah. The simple action of the heart, that the heart loves an object as much as loving Allah, that represents and establishes this object as a partner to Allah. So, because this love is the affair of the heart. So when the heart loves an object, whether it is a statue, whether it is, whatever the case may be, whatever the heart loves an object as much as it loves Allah, and similar quality to loving Allah, that constitutes shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it's very important to monitor our heart and to monitor the love that we have in our heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The core of our iman, the core of our worship to Allah, is loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having said that, inshaAllah, we move on to the second chapter, the chapter of fear from Allah. Also, this chapter deals with establishing our hearts on the right path and making our heart act in equilibrium. The first element of that is to love Allah. And the second element of that is to be afraid from Allah. Fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, fear is an act of worship to Allah azza wa jal. We fear from Allah because He deserves and He is worthy of our fear from Him, and we fear from His punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah is severe in punishment. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. He is al-qahir of His slaves. So this fear is an act of worship that is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We fear Allah because He's worthy of fear, and we fear Allah due to His punishment. However, there's other types of fear that are not related to being an act of worship. Naturalistic fear. People are afraid from many different things. You might be afraid from the snake, from a scorpion, from whatever the case may be. But if you are afraid, and if a person experiences fear from a snake, that does not mean he is worshipping the snake. Because this is a naturalistic fear. If a person experiences fear from a bear, that does not mean he is worshipping the bear. So this is naturalistic fear. And the characteristic of this fear, which is not naturalistic, limited in time and limited in place. Therefore, as you are sitting here, no one is afraid from the bear. It's limited in time, in place. You're only afraid from the bear where you are face to face with that bear. But as you are sitting here, you are totally secure from the bear. Isn't that true? And also it's limited in time. You're not afraid from the bear in all time. Only in certain occasions. Even when you go to a zoo, and there's only a few feet between you and the bear, as long as he's behind those doors, you have no fear from him. So this is naturalistic love, a naturalistic fear. And also this naturalistic fear sometimes has no basis to it. Because that object you are afraid of does not represent any danger to you. Some people might be afraid of emotion, and they run away to the other room. So if the rope is not going to do anything for you, it's not going to touch you. It does not represent a threat to you. So this naturalistic fear is present in everybody's heart. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You say, 'A'udhu billahi min al-jubr.' I seek refuge in Allah from cowardice." Cowardice is related to fear. That the fear which is an act of worship is not limited in time and is not limited in place. And the motive behind this fear is also glorification and submissiveness to Allah Azza wa Jal. So we fear Allah as an act of worship. This fear is motivated, the motive behind this fear is the glorification and submissiveness to Allah. Whereas when you are afraid from the bear, you're not glorifying this fear, no, you're going to submit to this fear. You're going to run as fast as you can. But there's no way you can run from Allah Azza wa Jal. The only place you can run from Allah is to Allah. You run from Allah to Allah by obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. You run from Allah to Allah by obeying Allah, and Allah is always watching you. Allah is always controlling you. And you're never going to come to any certain place where you're going to take refuge from Allah. You seek refuge in Allah, but you never can take refuge from Allah. Therefore, the implication of fear, the true fear, that fear which deters you from disobeying Allah. So now we have the equation in our hands. Love moves you to obey Allah, and fear deters you from disobeying Allah. You love Allah, you love paradise, you love the reward, you obey Allah. Because this is the way to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. You are afraid from Allah, you have fear in your heart from Allah. Therefore, you start at your boundary and you do not, and you disobey Allah. Nah. And this is the what would put your heart at an equilibrium. And then the author brought the ayah where it says, إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه فلا تخافوهم وخافوني إن كنتم مؤمنين. It is only the shaitan that puts fear in your heart from his alliance. So do not be afraid of them and fear Allah if you are believers. See, the shaitan is not going to let you go along without any influence from him. He's going to put in your heart fear from his alliance. Who are the alliance of the shaitan? The alliance of al shaitan, those who obey the shaitan. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ يَأْبُرُ. What is the shaitan's command? بِالْمُنْكَرْ وَالْفَحْشَاء. The shaitan ordains evil and ordains al-fahsha, heinous crime. So who are the alliance of the shaitan? Those who do those things. And who are the alliance of Allah? The things that fulfill the commands of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. So those who fulfill the commands of Allah, the alliance of Allah. And those who fulfill the commands of al-shaytan are the alliance of al-shaytan. So al-shaytan is going to put fear in your heart from his alliance. So when you see them, you just pretend that you do not see them. You are afraid people will experience fear from them. But therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the shaitan putting fear in your heart from his alliance. Do not be afraid of them, but have fear in your heart from Allah if you are believing. And pay attention to this if. The more of a believer you are, the more you're going to have fear from Allah. And the less of a believer a person is, the less he's going to have fear from Allah. So we see how fear is connected to our iman. Then there's fear, and there's something that other than fear, which in Arabic called khashya. It's another classification of fear. But khashya always comes with a valid reason. Whereas fear, sometimes with valid reason and sometimes without valid reason. The khashya always comes with valid reason. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَلَمْ يَخْشَى إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَعَسَى أُولَٰئِكَ أَنْ يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. The blessed believers are those who believe in Allah the year after, they establish the prayer, they give the zakah, and they only have khashya from Allah. They only have this classification of fear from Allah. They do not have this classification of fear except from Allah subhanahu, except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does it say? وَلَمْ يَخْشَى إِلَّا اللَّهِ. They only have this khashya to Allah Azza wa Jal. This sentence has negation and after that exception. We always said whenever negation and exception come together, that means exclusivity. Just like the statement of al-Tawheed, لا إله إلا الله. Negation, exception. You understand? And who are those people who have khashya from Allah? which are the knowledgeable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Only the knowledgeable, they are the ones who experience khashya from Allah. Not the ignorant. The ignorant, they do not have awareness and orientation with Allah, therefore they cannot achieve this level of khashya. Because coming back to fear and love, fear and love are functions of your knowledge to Allah. Remember we said, you love Allah because He is perfect. But if you do not know about Allah's perfection, how are you going to love Him? Therefore Allah introduces Himself and Allah tells us about Himself in the Quran almost in every ayah. Tell us who He is, His names and attributes, for us to be oriented with Allah, and this orientation make us love Allah and put in us the fear from Allah. So the more of a person has an awareness of Allah, the more he's going to love Allah and the more he's going to be afraid from Allah. Mahabbatullah والخوف من الله فرع عن الشعور بالله سبحانه وتعالى.